Welcome to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast of themovieblog.com. I'm Ryan, and of course we always have with us Anthony.
Yeah.
Jim.
What's up?
And finally, we've got Kenny, I think, for the third time now?
Hello.
Maybe yes. In a row.
It is in awesome. A row.
We're getting Kenny on here.
Yay.
Sounds so excited. So let's start with a topic where Kenny probably doesn't get to talk much. let's talk about Spider-Man. So what's the news, Anthony?
The news is Sony has invited Marvel into the wonderful world of Spider-Man. That's how they worded it on Marvel.com. I'm assuming Sony is definitely the holding all the cards in this one. But yeah, Spider-Man's making his way. And with that, there's going to be a lot of change coming to what Marvel initially had planned for all of their cinematic films. They have to now include a whole nother character and probably make him the face of the Marvel Cinematic Universe moving forward.
You know, let me grab on this while we're at it from the beginning, since you just mentioned that they're going to do a whole new character. Why isn't Andrew Garfield being considered even at least? I understand if they want to go with a completely new take or a different guy, but he's not even under consideration. They're just completely removed with him. Why? He did a good take on Spider-Man, I think.
Well, you know, I'd love to see Andrew Garfield, but, you know, I think Marvel from the beginning said they wanted a fresh start with someone new. I think, Anthony, you mentioned before that Andrew Garfield was pretty outspoken with the lackluster Spider-Man films that have been released with him in it.
Yep.
So I'd say it's probably both of those. I loved Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man rather than the crying, whiny Tobey Maguire who cried over everything and had no concept of who Peter Parker really was. And that's right, I'll say it.
You guys are nuts. You guys are insane. I still say Tobey Maguire is probably the perfect iteration of 1960 Spider-Man, the way he was originally designed by Stan Lee. He was a little nerd. He had wheat germ pancakes for breakfast. He was what that little whiny geek was.
No, there is a difference between a nerd and... I'm trying to use words carefully here because we are a clean podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are.
But someone who...
A Mitch.
Yep, a Mitch.
Michael Cera, maybe, as Spider-Man? Like something like that?
Oh, yeah, Michael Cera would be more of a nerdy type of thing. But Tobey Maguire, he was really just like, "You're doing it, MJ! I can see your dreams coming true." It was almost like a Mickey Mouse kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did not mind him, but the point being is that Garfield is now a former Spider-Man as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is opening up a lot of discussion on the internet that I'm going to hold off for a little bit. Let's just first foremost focus on the fact that a Spider-Man film is now coming out in 2017. All other Marvel films got pushed back to give Spider-Man his opportunity. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, before we see him in 2017, we're going to see him in 2016 in Civil War. That's the first introduction.
Right.
I mean, we're not even at this point. I don't even care about the Spider-Man standalone. I care about seeing him, how they incorporate him into the big picture, which is Civil War. That's the start of something big. That's their new Avengers.
I'm about 90% sure that it's just going to be an after credit scene, just like Samuel L. Jackson in the first Iron Man, where he's like, "We're forming a team, the Avengers Initiative." They're going to be like, "Oh, the Avengers are pretty much done. We need a new team, and I've got someone on call," and all of a sudden Spider-Man's going to come in.
Right. Well, it's possible. I mean, I don't expect it to be more than a cameo, to be honest with you, a glorified cameo.
It will.
I thought maybe like two or three scenes, so they can at least put it in the trailer, you know?
I think it's just too late in the game for that. In fact, you know, Latino Review, they have been really good on their rumors, and I'm probably going to stick with their rumor, which it was circulating the internet, but they were saying that Spider-Man, the first one where he, first collaborative film that he'd be a part of, would be the Avengers Infinity War, and I think that kind of fits because Civil War is supposed to break up the Avengers. Cameo makes sense, and the rumor that they said it was the Avengers are going to be all broken up, and then Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and possibly Ant-Man are going to be a part of the new Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they've been spot on with their rumors. Like, I mean, they'll put a rumor out, and the next day it becomes fact.
So we got to talk
to this guy's source.
Well, the Civil War film is already packed. You know, I mean, it's got a lot of people participating. It's almost looking like an Avengers movie. We still got Falcon, Anthony Mackie. To my knowledge, Black Panther is still making an appearance. Maybe the Winter Soldier is going to be back. It's pretty packed with a lot of people making an appearance already.
Isn't Iron Man the only one out of the Avengers aside from Cap that's showing up really though?
What do you mean showing up?
Like in the movie, that's the only like big name kind of, because right now we don't know who the Black Panther is. I mean,
Chadwick Boseman. He's going to be.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about like casual fans here, or just fans of that aren't diehards. You know, they don't know who these guys are. So the only names that really resonate are Captain America,
mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, potentially now is the way they could market it. But Iron Man's the only one that's known. You're not going to have Thor. You're not going to have, you know, the other people. I mean, it's pretty sad. I don't think the Hulk's showing up or anything like that.
True. Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see another cameo out, you know, just not in 3D cinematic. I'm sorry, in CGI form will we see the Hulk. I mean, it's possible. I think there is a pretty decent, not really household, but there's a decent amount of people who are familiar with the Black Panther.
Yeah, I think so too. If you know the Avengers, then you pretty much know the Black Panther. I mean, and same with all these kids that watch the Avengers cartoon. I mean, he's a regular on there, so
they'll know who the Falcon is. They should have an idea of a lot of the villains. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing how they incorporate Spider-Man. Now I want to kind of move on to the next thing, which is it was something I was considering posting this morning, which is to reignite the debate between Ryan and I about whether or not Marvel should be promoting Miles Morales or Peter Parker as their Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, if it's Peter Parker, like that's who it should be. I feel like Marvel, like this is a good chance, a good opportunity for Marvel to go with Miles Morales. Because the same thing
you can't.
They did. Say what?
You can't.
Can't. Well, no. Like this. Hear me out on this. This is mm-hmm. the reason why they have an opportunity to go with it. Look at what they did with Ant-Man. It kind of frustrates me that they went with the second Ant-Man, Scott Lang, versus the original Hank Pym. But I feel like if that's a proven success, if they can make Scott Lang be as successful as Ant-Man, then they might be able to pull off Miles Morales as Spider-Man, but I think there will be a huge fan uproar that they're not using Peter Parker, who's the original for that, since I think Scott Lang had a longer run as Ant-Man, too, than Miles Morales. Like, he was... And also, you know, they've been pulling from the Ultimate Universe.
And I was going to say, I know Ryan is aware that Marvel, outside of film, is really pushing Miles Morales in all their other endeavors, every single one. They're starting to promote this guy.
Well, I mean, they kind of, but not really. I mean, there's you can only promote him to an extent. They already tried, and then they had a comic book event called Cataclysm when they were trying to just end the Ultimate Universe, and I feel like he's falling into that same realm as one of my favorite characters, Scarlet Spider, where they just like they keep trying to push him on fans, and he's only got a select few that are really into him.
here's a reason why you can't use him. First of all, you are marketing Spider-Man. It's a fresh start. They're pretty much scrapping what they've done in the past. I liken this to almost, you can use Tim Drake as a Robin in a Batman reincarnation. You can't use Miles Morales as a central figure and character for a legendary known character such as Peter Parker.
Oh, I agree. I'm not.
You can't. I mean, you can move like secondary Ant-Man. You can do Flash even. I mean, that's even stretching it. You know, which Wally West or are we going to do Barry Allen? You can switch those guys, but you cannot take a central figure, Spider-Man, one of the top five superheroes, known superheroes to casual people, and mess with Spider-Man from the get-go like that. Forget about Peter Parker.
You can't really speak in absolutes about it. The studios can do whatever they want. The question
but it'd be
is
a major mistake.
And this is no longer the get-go. This is Spider-Man has five films.
Yeah, and I mean they've already discussed that they don't want to go the route of doing another origin story. But I kind of agree. I kind of feel like for me as a fan, it's just like Batman. I if they said someone else was Batman, like I think who was it, John? You know who I'm talking about? Azrael, when they did that. Like, if they chose him for Batman instead of Bruce Wayne.
I thought you were talking about Robin John Blake, because I thought that was pretty cool at the end.
No, I'm talking about in the comics where they had, like, John Paul or whatever.
Yeah, I know, Azrael.
Yeah, and he took over as Batman. I'd feel the same way if they said, hey, we're doing a new Batman film. Oh, but it's not Bruce Wayne. I'd be like, well, that sucks. Like,
well,
I
the
want
fact
Bruce
that
Wayne.
They're doing a standalone That's a- film, it gives them a good chance to do the death of Peter Parker.
But then they have to have two actors and stuff. I mean, it's just – I think it's just too much. They want an easy transition, and if they start doing too much where it gets too convoluted, they're just going to fall into the realm of some crazy Fox stuff like that they've done. Like maybe like, mm-hmm. like an X-Men Origins Wolverine or something where they want to start doing like a bunch of random stories that just don't really – they're not really cohesive with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think that's what's differentiated the Marvel Cinematic Universes versus Sony's and Fox's universes.
That's like, it's, you know what a good comparison would be? If they did, like right now, they're doing the DC's working on the whole team up of their characters. That is like, let's say Ben Affleck thing didn't happen as the older Batman. That's like bringing in the Batman, you know, from 2090, not 2099, but the one that the guy that played Terry, the television sure. cartoon, you know.
Yeah, Batman Beyond. About. Yeah.
Batman Beyond, that's where it was. Yeah. That's like bringing him in to the DC universe, you know, and saying, this is our Batman. That is the almost exact identical comparison to Miles Morales being Spider-Man and joining their, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm not saying I disagree, Jim. I'm just saying that the studios will do what they want.
They will. No,
the only reason I think that they are going to do it with Aquaman and they think it will work with Aquaman is because he's not nearly as popular as Spider-Man. So, like, one of those lesser-known characters, they can get away with it. They can introduce a new iteration and nobody will even be the wiser. This is an opportunity for – here's the thing. Whether you're into comics or not, I have noticed an increased popularity in the character. I've noticed him in cartoons. I've noticed him in games. I've noticed him in outside of his normal comic book. They're actually breaking the boundary where they're expanding the character. So besides my own little love for the character, I'm just going based off of their track record with what they've been doing recently.
Well, obviously there's a fan bias, so maybe we should ask Kenny with this. Like, Kenny, what do you think about them? Do you know, are you familiar with Miles Morales?
Actually, not really. I thought I knew about Spider-Man, and then you mentioned that, and I was wondering to know who that was.
Well, in the Ultimate Universe, which is a separate series of comics, they introduced Peter Parker, the original Spider-Man, dies, and they introduce a person
who takes on the mantle.
Yeah, he's younger. I think he starts out at about 11 years old, but then they added a lot of culture to him. They ended up making him biracial, and I think don't they hint at him being bisexual at some point as well?
Not to my knowledge. I'm pretty sure he's had a couple of girlfriends.
I know they did in the beginning. They were hinting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But I do know that he has a storyline that's similar but different than what we've seen in Peter Parker. He has a good little coming of age tale. He has this thing about him growing into the role. He takes on some of Peter Parker's classic villains, and he has a different power set than Peter Parker had. So his interactions with them is almost a little refreshing to those of us who read the comics.
That's where I just think it would get a little bit convoluted, because they would have to have Peter Parker's story in there for Miles to even really, like, for him to even really bounce off of it. Now, I mean, if they did do that, then I'm going to push for Donald Glover all the way, because I love that man. In a very heterosexual way, of course, but borderline, maybe. But
look at all those claims you just made. Like the you basically tried to make a case for the past 2 minutes since you asked Kenny about it, and look how much mess there is to figure out.
Well, there's a history to the character, and that's pretty much the thing that I think would be appreciable. It's something that is not common knowledge. It's a new way to experience a character that we've probably gotten familiar with and be surprised in different directions that they can and ideas that they can have.
They don't have enough time to do that with all these characters. They don't have time in a Civil War. Yeah, there's going to be a standalone Spider-Man movie, but I don't think you're going to use that up to be an origin story that's basically, you know, three-fourths of it trying to introduce this character.
Origin story for this character is directly related to the death of Peter Parker. There is no dead time. He picks up almost fairly right after Peter Parker character dies. Like, he witnesses it. And he already had powers, and he blames himself.
It will be a complete failure. It will be. I don't think Marvel's dumb enough.
I hear you.
Well, maybe
they said that about the Ultimate line as well, and it didn't fail. So I'm hoping that it, you know, you could be wrong and it could be Marvel's idea. Actually, I don't want to see any Spider-Man film Marvel does be successful. But if they do this, I think that they could also make it a success.
Remember, Sony has the most take in this too. You think Sony's going to go for that? I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. After some of the leaked emails that I read, no, I absolutely do not believe Sony is at all in any form or way interested in promoting a superhero like Miles Morales.
Exactly. And that's what it all matters down in the end, because they have creative control and Marvel is just basically, you know, they're like a commercial for Sony in a sense that they're just, you know, plugging in and promoting him. But it's still Sony's, you know, majority of the share is all Sony's. So I don't think they're in it for the risk after these blunders that they just had.
That's an interesting point. How much influence will Marvel actually have on these films?
They're a glorified commercial.
They're pretty much just promoting the okay, we'll throw the Marvel brand on there a little bit more.
Yeah, there's just a lot left to be seen. Yeah, I don't know. I think we could talk about this probably for
hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe we can transition so we can hear Kenny's thoughts on some things.
Well, I was wondering, the one thing I wanted to bring up was that they announced it kind of late at night. I remember I was in Denver. It was about 9 o'clock Mountain Time. And I found that kind of... that to me seemed kind of like botched or odd, because the last time that happened, I remember late at night, was Ben Affleck as Batman.
Good point.
I remember that happened because I made a joke that ruined my perfect summer. It was just a joke. And I couldn't help but think that, but at the same time, I was wondering that I think Sony and casting Andrew Garfield, they had this social network, you know, in 2010, and they decided to just use those actors in all their franchise films, like him for Spider-Man and then Rooney Mara for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and stuff. And I kind of wondered if that was more of like a personality business decision over like a character creative one. So that's maybe why there was some issues with that as well, that I think maybe could be mentioned. But it would be interesting to see the Peter Parker character die off and then this new one like emerge as well, I guess.
So yeah. I guess we should just cut it there so we don't
yeah
Yeah. Okay. Well, aside from that, if you guys want to stick with the comic book topic before we go on to our major, major discussion, Jim, what the heck is going on in Gotham?
Oh, no.
Well, what do you mean? They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're developing villains. They're creating more storylines, linking it up to an eventual, I mean, a whole planet of Gotham, which is what we want. We want to know about the Joker's origins. We want to see inklings of the Graysons. They're doing it perfectly. I would not change a thing that they're doing. The way they're setting things up might be a little bit too much of a rush, but for one season. But I'm loving the course that they're taking. I like that they're being proactive and moving forward and trying to bring in all these characters. Because remember, you cannot use Batman and, you know, and Bruce Wayne in that context that they want them to. So what better way is to just promote and build upon the villains?
Who have they introduced?
Well, I mean, you've had Harvey Dent in recent, you know, few episodes back. And...
No, I'm really asking because I haven't watched.
Okay, well, Harvey Dent's made his... Wow, we haven't watched. Harvey Dent made his arrival. You have a much more development with Catwoman's character.
Okay.
She's being featured more frequently, and they're setting up a relationship with her and Bruce Wayne, which I find it kind of interesting. I think that if they continue future seasons down the road, I think that's something they can go back to. And they're featuring way more of the Riddler's character. I think there's finally... a time that he's going to, I think, venture out, and I think they're setting that up. We have the evolution, obviously, of the Penguin every week. I mean, he's just pretty much taking over the show at this point. And there's seeds being planted every week for something new and original. And obviously, the rumors of the Graysons coming up towards the end of the season, I see that happening. And this new plot line about trying to introduce the Joker. Now, there was rumors that were spread, I believe we even touched on, that the guy who plays the Penguin right now is the Joker. And there's a lot of parallels that you can draw, actually, to support that theory, in a sense that, I mean, he has the look of a Joker, and his personality traits are much more in line. He's a killer. He's technically a killer, and I don't think Penguin... really was a cold-blooded killer, as they're trying to evolve every week with this guy that plays the Penguin, obviously, but he's just a cold-blooded dude, and I think that's a major sign that he potentially could be the Joker, or if not, then there's signs of the Joker coming around.
Well, they cast the Joker for Gotham. I think I saw that recently.
Could that be a ploy, though?
Well, they said that there's a teaser, and they brought in... the kid from Shameless to play the Joker.
I really wish we had Kanye right now to interrupt this discussion.
I'm going to let you finish.
No, I just think this show does a great job of teasing and twisting things. Like you, this brings these discussions up because you don't know what they're kind of thinking, because they've given themselves an opportunity to venture in different directions. And I think week to week, they do a good job of keeping things on edge to a point where anything could happen at any time. And you possibly what you're seeing is not what really is going to happen. And I think that's the good thing.
In the next episode, I know you've been keeping up. Should we tune in? Is this now our time to jump on and see if this is a show for us or what?
Absolutely. I think we're already in the second portion of the season. And it's building up. It's building up to a really potentially interesting and a great cliffhanger for a finale, for the season finale. So I think if any time was to tune into the show, probably there's like 6 or 7 more episodes left, I'm guessing. And this is the time, because I think things are starting to build and things are coming together.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you're enjoying this new interpretation of Gotham with the liberties that they're taking with the characters. I'm hoping maybe finally they finally do something that gains my interest. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. I know it's not really like the material that everyone's gotten accustomed to with Gotham, and there's no Batman, and they've taken a lot of liberties. Hope you can do the same thing for Miles Morales someday. But I'm glad that you're liking it now. But I really want to talk about something else while to kind of move away from the comic book stuff, because I'm going to always full circle back to Miles Morales for some reason. what do you guys think about this Academy Award season and the nominees for the Best Picture? It's been a little while since we had a podcast. We haven't had a good opportunity to discuss the nominations. I know that I still want to do our own Modis if you guys are still down. What do you guys think about the nominees?
Kenny?
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with this because there are so many things going on. So, Birdman's the front runner to win Best Picture, but it doesn't have a Best Editing nomination. And I don't know if you saw the movie, but it definitely had 42 shots, and they put it together so well you can't tell. Mm-hmm. And it probably should have won editing. I think there's one movie in the history of Academy that's won Best Picture without even a Best Editing nomination. And then there's Boyhood, which a lot of Academy members have said stuff like, well, anyone could have made that movie, which is kind of crazy. I think they should be like in a different industry if they think that. Yeah. And there's just so much going on. And then there's these random kind of nominations that kind of scratch my head. Like, I didn't really care for kind of Robert Duvall in The Judge, but I know why that they nominated him. It's more old fashioned. I actually liked, American Sniper quite a bit. I did not think its adapted screenplay should not have been nominated.
I didn't like American Sniper to begin with. I don't think it's nowhere near a top seven movie this year. Not even close.
Oh, really? Okay. But the screenplay in it is really bad. Like, the dialogue at home is just poorly written. But I like
it's a glorified documentary. It's a forced documentary into a movie. The guy, I mean, I don't know if you guys all seen this movie, but I was so disappointed. I don't get the hype. I thought Bradley Cooper's performance is very good. No doubt about it. And it's potentially Oscar top five worthy. I'm not sure if he should have gotten one of the top five slots. But I could understand it. However, the movie in itself, shoot, go back home, come back out, shoot, go back home, come back out, shoot. And it's repetitive. It's like a documentary. There's no evolution of a storyline. It's like Groundhog's Day in a sense. There's nothing compelling or interesting besides him, you know, mastering a way of taking out people. There's no evolution of the character. The storyline of the movie is completely flat, and it has nowhere to go. And the movie ending is very anticlimactic. I mean, it's based on a true story, but nothing happens besides time going by.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, it's an old Biggie quote. I love Biggie. Yeah, you sound really passionate about American Sniper. I mean, I saw it, and I kind of predicted the Academy would nominate American Sniper. They have had a long-standing crush with both Bradley Cooper and Clint Eastwood, so It seemed like a no-brainer, especially since it was released on Christmas. But I didn't expect this much disdain for the film. I'm really surprised in you, Jim.
I was just completely disappointed. I think the hype is what got me. I was expecting a pretty damn good movie. What I got was a glorified documentary starring Bradley Cooper. And I think the hype does not justify any means of this movie. I think it's overblown. And if it was only for his acting performance, then you can have something like Still Alice, where Julianne Moore got nominated for her performance, but the movie didn't get much nods for anything. This is that type of movie. You can talk about Bradley Cooper, but there's nothing else that resonates about this besides a flat storyline that's not going anywhere besides going back and forth and back and forth and repeating itself and killing off hours of my life.
So did we go through the rest of the nominees?
No. Okay. And Ryan, you got kind of quiet.
Oh, I was just listening to Jim.
Okay, let me list the nominees, okay? Let's do that. We have Whiplash.
Yay.
American Sniper.
Don't get a yay for me.
You've said your piece, you've said your piece, Jim.
Birdman.
Yay.
Yay.
The Imitation Game. Yeah. Selma. Well, mm-hmm.
Yay.
The Theory of Everything. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yay.
And Boyhood. Yay, that's a good one.
Excuse me, and Boyhood.
Yay.
Woo!
Oh, and we're forgetting Foxcatcher. Oh, wait, they couldn't get a slot because they had to leave a bunch of empty slots in a year that could have easily filled up top 10 spots.
Well, that's,
get something like Foxcatcher in there.
That's what the preference for ballot is they vote. This new balloting they've done for a few years actually shows favoritism. So Foxcatcher is technically well done on all those levels it was nominated for. But you're not going to fall in love with that movie. I don't know if anyone who's seen it or who hasn't, but it's a slow movie and people who like slow movies thinks it's too slow.
I actually really liked it, but.
Oh, you did? Okay.
There's three performances are nomination worthy. So I don't know.
Well, it could have been my background too. Like I was a wrestler. So that might be why.
You seem like a wrestler. Okay.
So yeah, I don't know. Nomination wise.
Who do you think is going to win? Not who do you think deserves it. Who do you think is going to win predictably?
Right now, it looks like Birdman because that's what's won over all the guilds. Whoever wins over the guilds usually wins the Oscars. Last year was kind of tense because Gravity and 12 Years a Slave tied, which was kind of nuts. And so Birdman won all those, and it was official when he won the Director Guild over Richard Linklater for Boyhood, but Linklater then won the BAFTA, which is interesting because usually BAFTA usually likes usually non-American movies, which is what the director of Birdman is, but then they voted for the American director and the American film. So that was pretty interesting in itself. Kind of when people try to predict the Oscars with all these precursor awards, it's kind of been all over the place and it makes the Academy kind of look pretty I guess foolish, but there's some pretty safe categories, like I'd say, you know, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. I could see Animated going to How to Train Your Dragon 2. Do you guys want to talk about the Lego movie? I kind of wondered if that would be a thing.
I like the Lego movie.
I keep her singing Everything is Awesome thanks to my kid, but, you know, because everything is awesome.
I did want to ask your opinion on this, Kenny. I think this might be partially just because I loved his speech so much that I want him to win, so I'm a little bit partial. But for Best Actor, I really would like to see Michael Keaton, and I think it's just because his speech was so heartfelt. I mean, I know that's bad for saying that, but and I know Eddie Redmayne did a terrific job in Theory of Everything, but I just feel like Keaton's such an underdog, and it was just really nice to see him win.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know, because I feel like Eddie Redmayne could win for that. But then again, I think Birdman's doing well because it's the industry kind of talk. And I mean, it not only is an entertainment industry movie, it's about an older actor who lives beyond their prime. And I kind of feel like the Academy is going to go for that. So he could very well win. I kind of felt like Matthew McConaughey last year, like that was a comeback win, you know, and it was pretty helpful with the performance and the subject matter, but that's what they like. They like to really kind of reward that if that makes sense. So I could kind of see that doing pretty well. I could see Keaton kind of squeaking in there, and I think Eddie Redmayne is getting bad buzz with Jupiter Ascending, which he's pretty in it, which is kind of interestingly timed, you know, that were to come out the week of you know, of when the Oscar people start voting, which happens to be a Warner Brothers movie, and American Sniper is a Warner Brothers movie, but I'm not going to imply anything. But anyway, I don't know what else.
Who do you want to win?
I want Boyhood to win at least director. I met Richard Linklater is just really down to earth, but he's also a great. Not only was Boyhood a really good accomplishment, he's done such great body of work and the film itself, just that combination, and he's really nice.
He's
and just
really
great.
Good at dialogue-driven films. I mean, I absolutely loved Before Sunrise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. And that's what I really think that he could I really want him to win. Some people think he will, and then Birdman would go to picture. I kind of like it when it splits director and picture. I wish that happens more often. I say that when it's happened the last 3 years in a row. But one of the things that kind of, I guess, bothers me about movies nominated for Oscars is that sometimes they're hard to see. Like, I didn't like it that American Sniper kind of came out after the Oscar nominations were announced, but that probably helped its box office, I think. I think that people should be able to be able to access films. I know that there's an exception with obviously the foreign language films and stuff, and you know, like not every town's going to get it. But I think the top 25 markets should at least be opening like American Sniper on Christmas instead of just New York, LA, and Dallas, which was really smart because he's from there, and that really helped with buzz. But the one issue I have in particular is actually a movie at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary nominee. It's called Salt of the Earth, and it played at Cannes, Telluride, Toronto. Well, it's nominated for an Oscar, and it's going to play at South by Southwest next month in March before it opens in New York and LA at the end of March. And it was nominated for an Oscar. And I kind of wish that that movie would have opened last month if it did get the nomination. And that to me is really kind of silly. Like, I think everyone should be able to see it. I've had a few people ask me when they knew if I knew when that movie would come out. And when I saw that it was on the South by Southwest lineup, I was kind of shocked by that, you know, just kind of really, really caught off guard, because I think people should be able to see all of the films.
Yeah, I agree.
It should be more accessible. And the fact that, you know, they the way they time the releases and the way they do these limited releases and yet somehow cement themselves a spot on the ballot is mm-hmm. it's just unfair.
Yeah. But honestly, the success of American Sniper is just going to reinforce that every year now. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be bigger than Captain America, Hunger Games, and Guardians of the Galaxy, like when it's said and done, like for like a box office gross.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, and movies that should be nominated that got commercial appeal that, of course, they wouldn't care about, such as Gone Girl, Interstellar, or Nightcrawler. Obviously we had great performances in a lot of different areas that you could have been nominated for, especially the three slots that didn't get filled. Of course they get forgotten. So, and, I can't explain that.
I can't believe Gone Girl got one nomination. That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
That should have been nominated at least, if not one, for editing. I thought the editing of that movie was incredible.
Well, I was surprised too, because Rosamund Pike, I mean, she was absolutely phenomenal.
I agree.
I know there were a lot of great actresses, but it's just really surrising. I know she didn't get it. I mean, I know she got the nomination, but she didn't get it amongst the others. But I mean, she was my poll for best actress, like in all the other categories, and she just seems to be getting snubbed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if they hate Fincher, or if it's too like female for the Academy. I just don't know. It's just so strange.
I mean, it was very dark, much like Silence of the Lambs, and I mean that's what I saw it as. I thought Gone Girl was going to be a surprise like Silence of the Lambs was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. No, that's interesting. Yeah, I think the Academy has gotten kind of soft last year. The last few years, they want to really, you know, be, you know, they want to choose what's kind of familiar and comfortable, or in the case of Birdman, which is dark, but about their industry, relatable.
Yeah,
I guess.
Jake Gyllenhaal not getting a nomination, I thought he's just as good as Bradley Cooper was, if not better in his role.
Yeah,
that's another snub for me. That Nightcrawler did get Dan Gilroy a nomination for screenplay, right?
One thing screenplay. With the Oscars too is I feel like social significance kind of plays a part in this. So I mean, having Bradley Cooper's role of playing a soldier versus Jake Gyllenhaal's role of playing essentially a ambulance chasing reporter. I just feel like Bradley Cooper's going to have the edge just due to social significance. Everyone's going to going to want that over, like, regardless of performance, really.
And well, should be about the performance, though, right? Because
it should, but I'm just saying that its social significance does play a factor, especially with the social media day and age.
No, that makes sense. They really love Bradley Cooper. This is his third Oscar nomination in a row. He tied, all-time great classic actors, which is really unfathomable.
He's not that good.
I agree with that. I like him. I think he's a great guy. As he gives out good performances, but I don't think he's that great, which I can't help but think if he's with the success of the film. Well, no, I'll say this. If Birdman wasn't about the industry of Hollywood with the Michael Keaton kind of thing going on there, I could see Bradley Cooper for American Sniper winning, like how Sandra Bullock won for the Blind Side.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it would have been like that, I think.
I agree. I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the female categories? I mean, do you have any disagreement with Julianne Moore being a lock and Patricia Arquette? Because I think there should be more talk about these other actresses that it shouldn't be a runaway to me.
Well, I love Julianne Moore, I like Reese Witherspoon. I think
Rosamund Pike was the best.
Yeah, I agree.
She absolutely is. I'm looking at the category. Yeah, she
was the most polarizing role.
Yeah, she was the best in it. So was Marion Cotillard in 2 Days, 1 Night. I'll be reviewing that later this week, and I saw it at the film festival in November. But I was really happy that she got in because it's a subtitled performance, and it's an incredible role. She basically goes to one coworker's house after the other on a Saturday, and pretty much begs them to forego their bonus in order for her to keep her job. I mean, it is just gut-wrenching and just like an emotionally exhausting performance. But I saw Still Alice, and Julianne Moore was actually really, really good in that, I thought.
Hey guys, mm-hmm. I hate to do this, but I have to run.
Yeah, we're running up on an hour anyways.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
so you want to do a quick close and I can just edit it?
No, I don't want to. I mean, I want to let Kenny finish his thought so that it's a natural close if possible.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But, let's go ahead and let's wrap this up because I can't believe we went for an hour.
Yeah, really.
Well, we had a lot of big topics to cover.
We only had 4. And we didn't even touch South by Southwest.
It's okay. We got that for another time.
Okay.
And Sundance, too. I got to play catch up on Sundance with the films I saw.
I want to finish this this Academy Award conversation. There's a lot more meat here. There's a lot more to discuss as far as just the practice of the Academy, the practice of the film studios for when they release their films and how it's promoted, the actual nominations, the actual snubs. There's still a lot more to discuss. Furthering us and our necessity to provide the internet with the correct opinion, because the Academy has got it wrong, and I think we need to fix this. I think the internet is being gypped. We're really going to sit here and debate this like musicians debate the Grammys. We know they're not going to go by who actually deserves it, but instead,
Childish Gambino.
They're going to go based off of relationships. They're going to go based off of social relationships. They're going to go based off of their limited knowledge of certain people and certain films. And we know how the ballot system works. I'm not going to debate that anymore. Just find a new organization to get your opinion from. I nominate the movie blog.
Fair enough.
Anything else? Anything closing thoughts? You guys want to touch on anything else about Spider-Man? Any last comments about Gotham or the Academy Awards?
Academy Awards, once again, too predictable, needs to come to a point where it's a little bit, at least not even a lot more, but a little bit more intrigue to it. I mean, everyone seems like a lock at this point. Maybe the best picture has, you know, potential for between Birdman and Boyhood, but there's nothing else that's even compelling. It's just
which
too
is the only
predictable.
Category that's ever debated.
I mean, what's the point, honestly, of then just bring it down to two or three for each nomination, for each category, three nominations, because there's no point of, you know, stringing people along because they're just there to fill seats. It's got to be a lot more compelling because it's not.
Yeah.
Kenny, what do you think?
Just for the Academy, I don't know. I like to see more edgier films get nominated. Like I remember, Under the Skin has great sound and score, and I feel like that would be that should have been nominated. I just kind of feel like the like days of like when they would nominate really edgy films that became classics are kind of over with now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know kind of what that is to figure it out.
And I'd like to discuss that with you at some point, Kenny, because I have my thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm actually excited that Inherent Vice got two nominations. Because
worst movie of the year, by the way.
No, it wasn't. It was one of the best. It was incredible. Watch it again.
That's 2.5 hours of my life I can never get back, and I wish I could.
Oh, really? I watched it 4 times. I thought it was a masterpiece.
You lose credibility, Jim. You like Gotham.
Whatever. My Monday nights are busy, okay? I watch a Bachelor in Gotham.
And now you're just hurting your credibility.
Okay,
just stop.
So until next week, fellas. Okay. We'll bring this back full circle. I'm sure we'll have more things to say about Gotham, definitely. More things to say about Spider-Man and his joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I'm sure more details will come out. And more discussion on the Oscars.
Yay.
Sounds good.
Until next time, thank you guys for listening to us. Jim, mm-hmm. Kenny, Ryan.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you guys again. Let's do this again next week. It's been great.